Well, open with me in your copy of God's Word to Romans chapter 6. Today, we will get to another great verse in the Romans road. We've already hit the first two mile markers. The first one is Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And secondly, Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love towards us and that while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. The third mile marker we're going to cover today, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul, he's been laying out for us the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the first three chapters of Romans, he's showed us the condemnation of sinners, and then in chapters 4 and 5, the justification of sinners, and that this is only by faith in Jesus Christ. And as we started chapter 6, we saw the sanctification of sinners, or the process of us becoming holy. When we're saved, we should become more like Christ Jesus. And Paul started the chapter with asking a question: shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? In verse 2, he answers it with a sharp no, certainly not, God forbid it. And if we are united with Christ in his death, we will also be united with him in his resurrection. Jesus, he's paid the payment for sin, because on the cross he said, it is finished. Sin has been paid for in full, and it doesn't have to be counted against you or I. Instead, by faith in the Son of God, we can have our sins forgiven. And so today we're going to read Romans 6:15 through 23. Romans 6, picking up at verse 15, it says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanliness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Today, overall, the big idea of this passage has to do with obedience. It has to do with obedience. Obedience will lead to life, or sin will result in death. Obedience will lead to life for a Christian, and sin will lead to death and separation from a holy and just God in eternal punishment for unbelievers. As a believer, the promise for not presenting your members to unrighteousness, but as to instruments of righteousness, the promise we said was back in verse 14. It said, sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin has been defeated at the cross. And we've got two choices, and we're going to see them laid out for us in this passage. The two choices, they're contrast. You can either have obedience, or you can have death. And if that sounds a little ominous or inauspicious, strap in. My goal is still to have you out here before noon. Paul opens the dialogue again with a question. He says in verse 15, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace?" It seems that Paul, he's almost kind of backtracking here, because at first glance, it seems that he's asking the same question that he asked in verse 1. He said, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" We see that Paul, he likes asking rhetorical questions for effect, and then answers it. He asked one in chapter 3, and in chapter 5, and again earlier here in chapter 6. And both answers are the same. Certainly not. We shouldn't continue in sin just so grace may abound. We shouldn't sin because we're under grace and not under the law. Now personally, I don't like being asked a lot of questions. Or at least questions that may just be repackaged questions to try to get a different answer. It's like, didn't you hear me the first time? But I believe that God is still working on me. Patience is one of those fruits that needs to be cultivated, and I hope that He's still working on you as well, because none of us are perfect yet. But as Paul will say in 2 Corinthians 3:18, "And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." I just have to wonder, how many degrees of glory are there? And so again, we see Paul, he's using a contrast here. If you sin and you're not forgiven, you will fall under the condemnation of the law. And the condemnation, it's spelled out clearly in these 9 verses in this whole book. And the result, the punchline, the nail in the coffin, is that sin will result in death. 3 times in these 9 verses, Paul, he's driving home that the truth of the matter is that sin results in death. Death is mentioned in verse 16. It says sin leading to death. Verse 21, it says, "What fruit did you have then in the things which you are now ashamed of? For in the end, those things is death." And then again in verse 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." This is why the Lord had to come to die. He came to pay for the payment for our sins. He came to die for your sins and for mine. Not because He had any sin, but because the gracious God of the universe is just and the justifier of those who have faith in Jesus. And I want to go back for just a second to Romans 3. I know that we've covered those verses, but please bear with me. They are such good verses. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 24. It says, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe." Romans 3:23, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." If you can grasp those 4 verses, Romans 3:21 through 24, if you can articulate them, you are not far from the kingdom. You've got the gospel of Jesus Christ. Repent and believe and live it out. Here in Romans 6, Paul again, he asks, "Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace?" And he answers it, "God forbid." John MacArthur, he says, "The believer is no longer under the law as a condition of acceptance with God. An impossible condition to meet, and one designed only to show his sinfulness." When we are under grace, we can actually serve God in newness of the Holy Spirit and not with the oldness of the letter. The law is not sin, it just reveals what sin is. Paul, he's going to next use an analogy of slavery. He's going to use this analogy of what has happened. Now, as horrendous as slavery was and is, the Bible talks about it just as a way of life. There were Old Testament laws written how Israelites were to treat slaves. They were, in fact, when they were slaves in Egypt, so they know how horrendous slavery is. We have a New Testament book that was written about a runaway slave. And when Rome and other world powers would conquer a particular group of people, the losing party would unfortunately become slaves. Sometimes one could become an indentured servant to pay for something. It's just how things worked. It's said that upwards over 50% of Rome, of the people at this time, were slaves. We're told in Galatians 3:28 that there is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Paul's not saying that differences don't matter, but they do not matter when compared to Christ. Men and women still have roles. Parents and employers, they still have responsibilities. It's not like we can just sit around and wait until Jesus comes. Paul, he warns the Thessalonians, about that. If you don't work, you shouldn't eat. That's what he says. And so when Paul gives this picture of slavery, it begs the question, whose slave are you? The American songwriter Robert Allen Zimmerman, legally Robert Dylan, maybe you know him as Bob. In 1979, he wrote and he sang a song. I'm not going to sing it for you. But he said, you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Strangely, Paul and Mr. Bob Dylan, they give us a choice of who we are to serve. We're to either serve the Lord or we're to serve the devil. Verse 16 says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? There's two types of people in this world. There's saved folk who are slaves to Christ, and there's unsaved folk who are slaves to sin. And at one point, we were the unsaved sinner. Now we are redeemed sinners, and we're to be slaves to Christ. I want to remind you of verse 14, which we talked about last week. It said, when we are dead to sin, we don't let sin reign in our bodies. We present ourselves to God as tools and instruments to God. And we have a promise in verse 14 that says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace. We don't sin just because we are under grace. If you have been sinned, if you have been saved, excuse me, if you've been saved, you've been transformed, you've been redeemed, you've been purchased, your desires change, and you don't want to go on the way of death anymore. You want to obey out of love, and that obedience leads to righteousness. James Vernon McGee, he says that identification with Christ is positional sanctification, but obedience to Christ is the experience of sanctification. And this is practical sanctification. Obedience will lead to sanctification and righteousness. Disobedience will show who your true master is. We're not under law, but under grace. It doesn't mean that we just get to do whatever we want. Yes, we've been set free, but what have we been set freed from? We're free from the bondage and the power of sin. We're free from sin, but we are not free to sin. Let me say that again. We're free from sin, but we are not free to sin. Grace is never a license to sin. Because though we are not under the law, but under grace, we're still obligated to keep God's moral law. Just because we've been purchased by Jesus' blood, we're still obligated to obey him. We've entered into a new covenant by his blood. And some might ask, well, which laws are we to obey? Because there's some laws that are revealed specifically to the children of Israel to teach them how to obey and please God. And so the Ten Commandments, for example, they're reiterated in the New Testament. We're definitely bound by them, even though we can't keep them. Because Jesus said that if we call a brother a bad name, we've killed him in our heart. Or if we look lustfully at another woman, we've already committed adultery with her in our heart. We have to start with the two greatest commandments. Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. God, he is looking for obedience from the heart. Again, Paul, he's already said, one who is a Jew is one who has been circumcised of the heart. The result of righteousness is to be that of praise, verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were past tense slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine to which you were delivered. We thank God that we've been pardoned, that we've been redeemed, that we've been set free. We were on the slave block, about to be sold, and God stepped in and purchased us with his son's blood as payment. Verse 18 says, having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. You've become a slave to righteousness. It's past tense, and yet still we're presently being set free. And so obedience will determine what kind of slave you are. This is the key. Are you a slave to righteousness, or are you a slave to sin? Those are the two options. If you choose sin, its path is death and destruction. But obedience leads to sanctification, becoming more like Christ, to eternal life. By being justified by Christ, it secures our place in him. It helps us know who we are, who we belong to. And that's why we inherit the name Christian. Because in the past, we were estranged. We were separated from God. We were God's enemies. We were dead and we were unregenerate. And yet he still purchased us. While we were still sinners, that is when Christ died for us. He wants us to trust him. He wants him to obey him and to love him. And so the question is, are you yielding yourself to Christ? Are you presenting your members to him for righteousness? Surrendering heart and mind and body and soul and living for him? What will your final outcome be? This is a great question to ask anyone. What will your final outcome be when you die? Because there's only two destinations after death. There's heaven and there's hell. Will your life now be one of a life obedience leading to eternal life, or one that shows the fruit of righteousness because of what Christ has done and he's given the free gift of grace? Or a life of sin that will lead to death. So in verse 19, Paul, he gives us a command. That command is to present. Verse 19, Paul says, I'm losing my voice. Excuse me, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. I've just experienced the weakness of my own flesh. Or as Jack Nicholson will say in A Few Good Men, you can't handle the truth. It's hard sometimes for us to grasp the truth because of our flesh. And so the command is to present your members, present your faculties for holiness. Verse 19, for just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanliness and of the lawlessness leading to more lawlessness or iniquity unto iniquity, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Again, we talked last week that our members could be any part of our body which we let sin reign by obeying the lust of the flesh. When we let sin in, we let Satan and death reign. Don't do it. Make Christ your master. Paul says lawlessness leads to more lawlessness. It's easy to drift. Once you sin once and you tell a little lie, it just keeps snowballing. So let me give you a life lesson. Let me enlist some help from a friend of mine, Larry Boy. Some of you may remember Junior Asparagus and the Fib from Outer Space. Junior broke the world-renowned Arch Bugatti limited bowling plate. There's this alien that comes whose name is Fib. He tells Junior that he needs a story about how someone else broke the plate. Well, Junior, he realizes that this is a lie. But Fib says, no, not a lie, just a little fib. Everyone does it all the time. For a little fib wouldn't hurt anyone, Fib says. Well, Junior's dad comes home. He sees this broken plate. He asks, what happened to it? Which Junior says, well, it's Laura's fault. She broke the plate. It's true, and that's Laura broke the plate, and that's what I have the tale for you. Now, that wasn't a good idea, was it, Larry Boy? No, it wasn't, Pastor Tim. Okay, well, God made you special and loves you very much. Okay, thank you, Larry Boy. One little lie, one little fib grew. Because after one lie, you probably have to tell another and another. And then suddenly this little fib, it churns and gets you in trouble. The life lesson here is to tell you the truth. That lawlessness will lead to more lawlessness. And so Paul asks in verse 21, what fruit did you have then in the things which you are now ashamed of? What benefit is there to being a slave to sin? Now, it may be fun for a season, but the last three verses will show us the cost of sin, the cost of sin, verses 20 through 23. What fruit is there in sin? There's three that I see. I will cover them quickly. The first we've already talked about, and that's slavery, verse 20. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in righteousness. The cost of sin causes you to be a slave to sin. But when we've been connected to Christ, our nature is to serve Him and to be righteous. Besides being a slave, secondly, I see ashamedness, verse 21. And I think very seldom that we as Americans experience shame. The world wants to tell us that shame is harmful to your mental health. And in some ways it is. Shame is an embarrassment when faults are revealed in front of other people. And the world is about acceptance. Even when science and reason are set forth, the world says if you can make an argument based on your truth, you will be accepted and lifted up as courageous. Here it says, what fruit, or what was the result? What benefit did you receive from the things which you are now ashamed of? How did that work out for you? Not very well. In the end, the cost is sin, is slavery, and shame. But the biggest cost we see is in verse 23, which is death. This is the end result of all sin. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. The cost to sin, the fruit of sin will lead to slavery, to shame, and eventually death. And the Bible tells us that there are two kinds of death. Hebrews 9:27, it tells us that it's appointed unto all men once to die, and after that, the judgment. Every person is guilty because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Our sin is what separates us from a holy and a righteous God. But Jesus, He has come. He has said that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can come to the Father except through Him. When we sin, we don't physically die right away. God, He has delayed His judgment for the end of time so that all can come to repentance. Amen. Now, all of us will die a physical death. People die because of sin, because of the disobedience of Adam in the garden, but we also die because each of us individually also sins. Now, death is an enemy, but it is also a tool that separates us from the physical to the spiritual. As I mentioned, there's two kinds of death. There's physical, which all of us will experience, and there's also spiritual death. Spiritual death is mentioned in the book of Revelation, Revelation 21:8. It says, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice sorcery, which in the Greek is pharmakeios. It's where we get the word pharmacy from. Witchcraft often involved the use of drugs. Idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If you've told a lie, if you've sinned only one time, if you don't believe that Jesus died and rose again for sin, your destination is hell. But it doesn't have to be. The end of Romans 6:23, it gives us hope. Let me reread it for you, the whole verse. The bad news is presented first. For the wages of sin is death. That's bad news, because all of us have sinned. But here's the best news that you've ever heard. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. The gift of God. Your wages for sin is death, but Jesus Christ our Lord, He purchased eternal life for you and me. And He gives it to us not in the form of a wage, not in something that you can earn or achieve, but only in a free gift that you can receive. There's no one that can do enough good things to inherit eternal life. One sin was enough to separate Adam from God. One sin is enough to separate you from God for all eternity. And all of us sin every day. You might think that you haven't sinned, but you have, and so have I. We haven't loved God totally, not even once. We can't. It's impossible. But there's a great verse found in Matthew 19:26 that says, with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. You can't earn salvation on your own, but God sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the debt for you and for me, so then we receive it by faith, by acknowledging that He is God's only begotten Son, that He was our sacrificial lamb. When we confess Him as Lord and we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. And we enter into a new covenant by his blood. Have you decided to follow Jesus? He offers the free gift of eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is God's word, and I say thanks be to God for it. Let's pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Lord, help us to believe. Help any unbelief that we may have. By your Holy Spirit, I ask that you would convict, that you would draw, and that you would renew. Your word says that though our sins were as red as crimson, they can be as white as snow. May you be lifted high, and may everyone who is listening to my voice trust and follow your Son, the only name by which we must be saved, the name of Jesus. Thank you for that. Grant us your grace and your peace. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.